again, believe it or not, another week has gone by. The week is finally over. Tuesday is finally here. So one day of the week, all of y'all looking forward to. It's the one day. We all look forward to it. I hope you do. We are back, Parish of the Patriots, episode number 232. Glad to see all of you back here once again. Hopefully there's some new faces out there in the audience. You found the show one way or the other. Hopefully Finn's family, somebody said, man, you got to check this guy out. It's fun discussion, hopefully. If you are new around here, we do have a Christian-specific segment, a sermon, if you would. And that's roughly around the halfway part of the show. And when I say roughly, sometimes it's way earlier, sometimes it's way later. Either way, I don't think it's a letdown. It's my, honestly, main reason for even doing the show. So I hope you will check it out, even if you're a non-believer. Even if you're a non-believer, check it out. I have non-believers. I hear from them regularly, and they say, I still listen. I think it's good. I like hearing this new Christian perspective. Now, if you're just a not just simply a non-believer, but an atheist spurg, you might get triggered from it. And that's why I warn you. You don't be coming and whining about it because I warned you. I'm not saying you got to listen. I'm saying you're missing out if you don't. But that's on you one way or the other. I don't care. Let's keep on rocking. We do. This is as good as it gets. If you are new around here, you might find that shocking. But this is my best work. What I do right here, this is my best work. This is good get. I don't have nothing. There's nothing behind a paywall. I don't have nothing. That sounded intelligent. Knew us already turning off. This guy sounds like a dumbass. I ain't even listening to him no more. It gets better as we roll. There's nothing, but the point is, there's nothing behind a paywall. There's no subscription content. What you see is what you get. It's yours. Do with it. Get something out of it. What I do is pass the offering plate around. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. If you look at the bottom of our description, go down the description page. You'll see I got snail mail, got Bitcoin, got Monero, and I got an email address there. You can drop your notes. If you have a different cryptocurrency, believe you me, I am not above taking your shit coins. I'll take them. I take what I can get. Drop me an email. I will get you an address. I will get you an address for that as well, which brings us to the listener supporter mailbag. Dear Grandpa, thanks for all you do. Be well, and God bless Nick, and may God bless you too. Thank you. It's very much appreciated. GPT, do you think they will have 6 million genders and pronouns before they're all through? That's from Triangle Whip. We're headed that way. I don't even know what the current gender pronoun count is. I really don't. I don't know what the current count is because it keeps varying. It keeps keeps changing. People are like getting in trouble with the law now for using somebody's wrong, incorrect pronouns in some areas, in some countries. It's a hate crime. You don't say they, them. I always say that, you know, when you say these people, you know, and it's like my pronouns are they, them. I always think of the, you know, the man in the Bible that was demon possessed and his name, you know, Jesus said, what's your name? And it's like, my name is Legion, for we are many. That's what I always think of. They got Legion in there. They got a whole bunch of demons in there. They want to be known as they, them. They got so many demons in them. They got more demons in them than in the pits of hell. They all living in them. My pronouns are they, thee, them, whatever the hell. They got more demons. They got more demons than in hell living in them. My pronouns, they, them. My pronoun is Legion. A lot of these people you look at, I bet you believe that too. And you got something living in you, and it ain't something. It's something otherworldly. About otherworldly things. I was thinking of this the other day. It's funny how people perceive things. You know, we got the, they keep teasing this alien hoax thing, you know, and they use, you know, they use like scientific expert-y looking people to talk about, you know, space aliens. And these are people who mock you for being a Christian believer. And I was thinking of this the other day, how funny it is. No, this has nothing to do. We're still in the listener supporter mailbag. I'm not going through it. I'm just already rambling. I was thinking though of how funny it is. You could take one of these people that claims to believe in the science, you know, and they tell you how, you know, science and whatnot. And you, if you told them, especially if you presented an expert to back it up, but if you told them, you say, well, I saw a study that says that this entire world was created by, you know, space aliens from another dimension. That's why you see all of these signs of design, and you see these beings from this other dimension, because we know from physics that all of these alternate realities and dimensions exist. The science tells us this. And see, I saw a study, and we believe it's been this hypothesis has been put forward that this world was created by aliens from another dimension who created people as a type of experiment to see how we would evolve, and if it would be possible for people to evolve and to become like these beings from this other dimension. And these people would probably sit there and go, oh my gosh, that is just some breathtaking science. And oh my gosh, this is such an intriguing hypothesis. We should study this further. And they never realized that you just reworded everything that's what's in the Bible. You know, you just came back and said, well, the world was created by God, you know, who lives outside of time and eternity. And we're put here, you know, to struggle and grow to see if we can become spiritually mature enough to join, you know, to enter the kingdom of God. Get out of here with your space fairy, with your silly fairy tales about God and demons. And stuff. I don't believe in any of that. It is like literally the same thing. It's just how you worded it. They'll believe and otherworldly beings from another dimension, if you word it that way. But if you instead use specific terms like the Lord or angels and whatnot, and they that's just crazy fairy tales. It's like there's essentially no difference here. But they just can't. They can't accept it. Let's see what else we got here. I got one all folded up and I'm struggling. I'm too lazy to pause the microphone. This is how low effort is going in here. Oh, and by the way, I was going to say this earlier and I forgot. I know y'all well aware that I've been trying to hold up Daily Nationalist on Mondays and Fridays. Matt Johnson's been so good as to continue to do his Thursday, more geopolitical focused Daily Nationalist solo. And, really appreciate his work. And y'all know I've been doing the Monday and Friday one, and I know the results have probably been mid at best, but once in a while, they do well. Yesterday's show, I encourage you to catch yesterday's show. I think it's an important show. I think it's a good show. The Monday, I'm still trying to keep the Friday shows lighthearted, which may seem kind of forced at times. The Monday shows have been getting a little darker and more serious. Yesterday's show, I think, was good. And I honestly think the week before Monday, Where Are the Babies Going? If y'all haven't checked that show out, be sure and check that out. Because, no, it's not about, you know, white people aren't having babies. That's not what the show's about at all. That's some of that creepy crap that's going on in the Ukraine. GPD, I wish I had the wit that you do, as I would write something other than dough for the show. That's from Mr. T. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, fam. I got enough wit for everybody. I am spreading the wit. I'm spreading the wit to with all of you. No, seriously, though. It is... Y'all don't know. I really do appreciate it. But I mean, all in all, less than 1% of y'all put anything in the plate. Like, we had hundreds of people gathered up here in a building, and I passed offering a plate around, and like, you know, 4 people, for instance, you know, put something in the plate. You be better believe next week the preacher going to be giving you one of those pay your tithe for 30-minute sermons. We don't do that here. Very small percentage of y'all put something in the plate, and I'm not whining, but I kind of am, but I'm not really. The point is, I really do appreciate it. And yes, I know some of y'all do, like, I've got some of y'all that do like annual, you know, like once a year, y'all send me something, and I do appreciate it. I'm not forgetting y'all. You know, it hasn't gone out of my mind. I got some that do once a month. I got some of y'all like Mr. T that do it every week. But the point is, even all of y'all taken together, it's a very small percentage of y'all that do that. And it means a lot, not just because it helps out, which it does. Every little bit helps, believe me. It all comes together and adds up, and somehow God blesses me, and I somehow continue to make a living. But you know, look, even me, I'm actually going to be serious here for a minute. Even me, I have days when I wake up, or you know, I'm having my coffee, or maybe I'm getting ready to do these shows or whatever, and I find myself thinking, you know, what am I doing this for? You know, I mean, what am I even doing here? What is the point? It's even I have those times, and I think, what is the point? And I always come back to thinking, you know, look, if one person gets something out of it, it's worth it. it's worth all of this effort, this time that I put in and whatnot. If one person gets something out of it, then it's worth it. Well, this week I know at least four of y'all got something out of it. I got four notes here. I know, and I know more of y'all have than that, but I know for a fact that four of y'all got something out of it. So, hey, you know, we keep on trucking. Dan, hope things are going well. The shows are still insightful and interesting as always. That's from your brother in Christ, Michael, and I appreciate it. Hopefully everything continues to work out well for you. And yeah, that gets us through. Gets us through the listener supporter mailbag. We just keep on trucking here at the Parish of the Patriots. You know, it amazes me. Believe it or not, I get out. I mostly live like a hermit at times, it seems like. A lot of times I live like a hermit. But no, believe it or not, I actually do go out and interact with other people. I go out and touch grass. It's hard now because the grass is all burnt up and it's hot, dry. But no, I do. I get out and talk to other people. I actually like get out and talk with other people to a certain extent within limited quantities. Within limited quantities. I can't deal with stupidity. But I do find it interesting. And I observe the world around it. And it's one thing because it's one thing to experience, to read about what's going on in the world and to listen to shows or whatever about things that are going on in the world and videos, whatever it is you do. And that's all well and good. I mean, like, I'm glad y'all listen to this show, but there's just nothing like, you know, you going out and interacting with other people. You know, you read and hear and all this stuff that's going on in the world. You shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the world is you too. In other words, yeah, you can read about all these geopolitical events, and that's all interesting, and that's all well and good. But that's not all that's in the world. Well, the people you interact with, your family, your coworkers, friends, people you run into town, whoever it is, this also constitutes out there in the world. You know, that's part of the world too. It's not just big things you read about, because things are so crazy right now. Look, I know they are. Things are so crazy, and you read about all these things. We got World War III is going on. I mean, and it just keeps getting a little hotter every day. It literally is. I'm not being over the top when I say, I mean, you look at it. Every country in the world is picking a side right now. I mean, yeah, no, we're not at the point where Russia and China are dropping bombs on the U.S. and vice versa. We're not there yet, but we're close, because actually the U.S. is dropping bombs right now on Russia. They're just using a middleman and acting like that somehow doesn't count. Imagine, look, if you went and gave a gun to somebody and told them, go shoot that guy, and that guy went and shot that guy, and then that guy got arrested for shooting that guy, you better damn believe the cops are going to come arrest you. Because you gave him the gun and told him to go shoot that guy. And yet they do this. They give all these weapons, these bombs and whatnot to the Ukraine. And they're bombing, attacking, you know, on Russia. And they act like that somehow doesn't count, though. But there's a lot going on. And I get it. But that's not everything. It's more important. I mean, I think it's important to understand the world around you. I do. But for you personally, it's more important to get out there, you know, and talk to people, because that's going on out in the world, too. When you will run into somebody in town and you know, say an old friend that you hadn't seen for 20 years, and you run into them in town and you stand there and have a few laughs and catch up on things, you know. Or your coworkers, and you're just talking about trivial things, what your kids are doing or how your family's doing. And, you know, that's a part of what's going on out in the world, too. That's important, too. It's not just these big things. You don't have much influence, if any, and really none at all on those big things that are going on. But you still have an effect on the world and the way you interact with other people. I go out. Sometimes I don't interact with people as much as I would probably need to and probably like to at times for various reasons. It's just the way things work out. I'm always doing things that seem to wind up being me doing things alone, but I do go out. And I was talking to somebody recently. And they were telling me about a dispute they were having with their neighbor. And this dispute had escalated to the point of being utterly ridiculous. I mean, it really had. And I was sitting there thinking about it after this, hearing about this from this person. And I was thinking about how, what was that even about? Why are these people having this huge dispute? It keeps escalating. And you'll see that, you know, you'll hear about this. Maybe you've experienced it in your life. You see two neighbors and they'll start having like this feud, and it starts usually from some little thing, and it just keeps building up. And then they're doing these ridiculous, you got one neighbor doing some sort of ridiculous over the top crap. Now you'll notice that it'll usually be worse if the two people involved are women. I mean that, and bear with me on this. This isn't just like to be down on women. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. If you got a dispute between two neighbors or two people, and if be it in your job or whatever, the most ridiculously overblown disputes will always be between two women. You probably, most of y'all old enough, you're sitting there nodding your heads because you've seen this somewhere in your life. Whether it's in the family or like at your job, you get two women co-workers and they start feuding and it winds up being this overblown thing. Women will always escalate things to just a level that's just utterly absurd. There's a reason for that. And it's probably not the reason that you're thinking. It's a simple reason. Men will not escalate that far because you'll hear these disputes. If you see these women, and you see two women and they'll blow this up and you hear about it later. And these women have turned this into this ridiculous and they're doing these ridiculous things. A man wouldn't do that because long before it got to that point, somebody's getting an ass whipping. See, women don't live in that world. See, men live in the world, you hear about this, and these women are fighting at work, and now it's at the point like they're doing these ridiculous things. And he's like, a man would never do that because long before it got to this absurd level of escalation, way back down here, man's going to be like, you know, when we get off work today and go in the parking lot, one of us is leaving today with an ass kicking. It might be me, it might be you, but one of us, somebody's getting their ass kicked today. That's the world men live in. I say that. You got these effeminate, you know, guys now that live this. Maybe they don't live in that world. But the average man throughout the world, throughout the age of history, the average man has lived in a world that, you know, there's a certain understanding. There's a certain level that things can get out of hand, you know. Like there's this exchange of words. And at some point in time, a man shuts up because it's like, well, there ain't nothing else to say because we've done cross that line. Somebody, there's fixing to be an ass whipping. We fixing to start throwing hands. But see, since women don't live in that world, they continue to go on. And it becomes this ridiculous, absurd circus level, absurdity level of escalated now. They're doing this crazy shit to one another. Because they don't live in that world of now I'm fixing to whip your ass. That's they don't have to deal with that. But I mean, one of the things I kind of got off on a side note with that. Women don't understand this either. See, they don't. That's one of the things I don't understand about men. And you tell them that, women sitting there, see, men are brutish. See, you men, you just you men are just such brutes. But see, that's what keeps things in check. See, a man understands. Look, I'm not talking about guys that are looking to fly off the handle, but it's just the average guy living an average life. And all these guys that live in this little sheltered, pampered, and they're very effeminate, and they've never had a real confrontation in their whole life. And so they wind up acting like women, and they do these really ridiculous, petty, passive-aggressive crap. And then one day they do it to the wrong guy and get punched in the face, and they don't understand. You see, what women don't understand about that is this part of what keeps things in check. Men kind of keep each other in check with that because a man understands there's a certain level where you don't go there. Because if you cross that line, and it encourages men to keep their emotions in check. You know, it's like, because a man understands we can go so far with this, but if one or the other of us steps over this line, And men are pretty good at understanding where that line is. If we step over that line, then hands are going to get thrown. Anyway, I got kind of off track here. The point is, people are absolutely and utterly losing their damn minds. People are losing. I hope y'all ain't. I really, one of the many things I strive for with this show, and I'm not even being silly or funny here, is to keep y'all from losing your minds, because this world's on nuts. I mean, the world is crazy right now. Things don't make any sense. And I look out here in the world, and I talk to people, and I hear stories related to me, and I hear about things, and I see how people behave, and the things they say, comments they post, and things like that. And I come away with shaking my head, because people are losing their damn minds. People are getting upset over crap that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That gets people. I see people, and I'm not, now I'm talking about everybody. I ain't talking about, you know, just women. I see people, and they will get so twisted up and bent and upset over what somebody else is doing that it ain't got a damn thing to do with them. It ain't got nothing to do with it. It doesn't affect your life in any way, shape, or form. They're just living their life, and you don't agree with it. And these are the people, you know, that are so easily manipulated. We talked on our show here a few weeks back, you know, revisiting COVID. And I made the point that if you remember back then, things like the mask mandates and stuff, they weren't, by and large, they weren't enforced by the government. They were enforced by your fellow citizens screeching and yelling at you and like having a meltdown because you are not conforming and you're not wearing the mask. All of these weird social experiments, all these things that are being pushed, all of these agendas and this gibberish, and then you got World War III going on in the background, and nonstop rainbowism, and people just want to be left alone. I was thinking this morning, you know, if you could come in and suddenly just like for one day reset the world to normal, I think as a society, like people would just take this collective sigh of relief. People would take a collective sigh of relief, and they would be able to step back and say, what have we been putting up with? What is this? Because normal, it's just normal. I mean, you know, I mean, like, young people could look forward to a future of they're going to go and they're going to work and they're going to figure out a way to make a living and maybe save up and make a better life for themselves than their parents had. Young people don't have that anymore. I get so pissed listening to older people, my age and older, and they'll go on about how worthless these young people, and they don't want to do this, and they don't want to do that. They have no hope. They have no future. You know, when people my age or older were young people, were teenagers, we had this idea that, look, we're going to go out there in the world, and if we figure something out, and even if we can't figure something out, if we can just go show up and work hard every day, we're going to make a better life for ourselves. You know, probably, hopefully, better than our parents have. We had that hope. Whether it was real or not, it's irrelevant because we believed in it. We had that hope. These young people don't have that hope now. Look at what the cost of rent is. Look at what the cost of everything is. And look at what wages pay for entry level. There are no, oh, you're going to go to work in this field and be an apprentice and build yourself up. No, everything, they've shipped those jobs off overseas. And what is left, you've got to go do the college thing, even though the job doesn't require a damn bit of college knowledge. Hey, that rhyme, college knowledge doesn't require college. It doesn't matter. They're going to force you to go to college and rack up all of this ridiculous debt. So now not only can you not afford anything as a young person, you got to, if you're going to have any chance for any kind of job, they're going to force you into debt servitude first. They're going to make sure you start off with an anchor tied around your leg with a rock, with a ball and chain hooked to you of debt. They want to make sure they've got you locked into debt servitude first. And then there ain't no guarantee when you get out and you got your little piece of paper, everybody else got that piece of paper too. So you still probably ain't getting no damn job. And older people talking about, young people just don't want to. They work for what? You know, what, you want the waitress to step and fetch a little harder, Boomer, while they bring you your tea that you don't think has quite enough ice in it, and you're going to leave them a nice shiny quarter? Don't spend it all in one place. Young people, you got to hope. That's the world we live in. Sorry, I got off on a tangent once again. If you could reset society for like a week of normal, no rainbow flagism. People ain't worried about what other people are doing. There's peace in people's houses. People go to their job, and it's not this ridiculous, stressful bullshit. And people just going about their day to day lives. And on the weekends, they're having cookouts and they're having fun. And you can go into the city and maybe, you know, go downtown and shop. And there's not homeless people everywhere. And you're not worried about getting bashed in the head or some crap, and they're not lawless. And everybody just had a normal life for a week. People would wonder, what the hell? Wait a minute. This is normal. This is what normal. We don't live anywhere near normal. And because it's one thing after another, after another, after another, you just look back. We did the whole look back at COVID thing, you know, like I said, a couple of shows ago. But I mean, that was one of many things. They were doing the BLM stuff. They were doing the George Floyd stuff. They were doing the whole, like I say, the COVID stuff. People were being banned left and right. People were being, all this craziness. And because they hit you with one after the other, after the other, after the other, people never have a chance to stop and take a break. They're just wondering now. People are so traumatized. They're just wondering, what's the next thing? And by the way, my revisiting COVID show was right on point, because I've noticed on the news now, they're warming COVID back up. Have you seen that? I said the COVID cases on the rise again. And the media is already starting to run file footage of people walking around in the masks. COVID cases on the rise. Experts warn COVID cases on the rise. And the media goes straight away and starts running file footage of people walking around in the mask. And the message is clear. You better be starting to think about it. Y'all going to have to wear the mask again. They go from one thing to another, and the people are so trapped, they don't even have time to stop. As a result, they're losing their damn minds. They want to lash out. But they can't lash out at the government. They can't lash out at these entities with all of this power. And they wind up lashing out at the people around them. They do. They lash out at the people around them. And over stupid, piddly stuff. And when you look at it from the outside, like me, and you look at it and it's like, what a petty thing to get that pissed off over. It doesn't even matter. You know, you see people and they'll escalate stuff to this ridiculous point. Like, you, like, a classic example is people that get it caught up in a road rage, you know, and they get mad and because someone cut them off in traffic, and they wind up shooting their car and maybe hitting somebody. And then the cops come and they arrest them. And you're thinking, they just cut you off in traffic. Why do you care? I mean, yeah, it's annoying. I'd be the first to get aggravated at the way people don't drive, but I mean, you have to keep things in perspective. But you see people losing their damn minds because everything is so crazy and they can't lash out. They really want to lash out. They want it. All of this lashing out that you see, they just want it to stop. This is like a cry for help of the citizenry of this damn country. They just want it to stop. Please stop. It's so evil. Because I don't even understand why they think they've got to do this. But I mean, really, just leave everybody alone. These power-hungry people, look, if you would just leave everybody alone and start working towards establishing some normalcy, they wouldn't care what power you had. You know, they really wouldn't. They just want to be left alone. They would breathe such a collective sigh of relief if you said, you know what, we're not going to push EVs on you that don't work. We're going to quit doing teaching all of this weird gender crap in school. We're going to quit doing all of this crazy, absurd, weird shit. And we're going to try to get y'all a normal life. The trade-off is, please let us stay in power. And everybody be like, I don't care how rich you are or powerful you are. Yes, we want normal. Please. It's like, as a society, the people are just crying out for some sort of normalcy. They're lashing out at one another. They can't lash out. They can't lash out at the government, these people that wield all of this power. They can't do that. I mean, they can't. They don't have the ability. So what do? They lash out at their neighbor about where the hell they put their lawn furniture. You know, I mean, they wind up in this huge dispute and burn their neighbor's house down because the neighbor's dog came over and took a shit in their yard. You know, I mean, just this absurd level of escalation is not, it's not even because of those little things. It's just they've had enough. This stuff has been pushed on them. They have no way to push back. They have no way to fight back. And they wind up just, well, by golly, I can fight back over this. That lawn furniture of yours is 6 inches over my property line. We're going to get it on. I'm getting my gallon of gas and burning your damn house down. It's because they can't fight back. And they're so frustrated that now it's just, they just can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. Anyway, don't lose your minds. Seriously, this is not sustainable, and it is going to come to an end. I do think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I do. And, you know, the people, your whole goal, you have to struggle in this life, and you've got to survive it as long as you can. There's going to be a culling. I do, because what I mean by that, to be very clear what I mean by that, you know, shit libs that listen in, it's like, I just caught him. He's advocating violence. Oh my gosh. No, there's going to be a culling because there's going to be people that just can't deal with it anymore. We're already seeing that. There's people that aren't going to, because things are going to get worse. You look at the level of stress that people are under now and they're already snapping. It's going to get worse. And you got to have the mental fortitude to keep things in perspective and keep yourself in check, you know, and to keep these things in perspective and continue to live your life as best you can. Because the winner is the one that comes out of the other side of it. You know, it's going to get worse, but then it's going to collapse. And then the rebuilding starts again. This is what I think. I mean, it's just my opinion. It's worth what it costs you. But It's going to get worse, but then it's going to collapse. And basically after that begins the rebuilding. And the winner is whoever's on the other side of that, whoever's still alive, you know, still got their sanity on the other side of that to keep on moving. Then to be a part of the maybe building something, hopefully something better than what we got now. You know, but a lot of people aren't going to be on that. There's a lot of people that are so weak mentally. And I see these people. You know what I'm talking about. And they live, they give meaning to their lives through these fake things. The people that screech at you because you didn't wear a mask. Those are the people, look, when it all comes crashing down, those people are going to just be, I see people like that going out and jumping off of buildings and bridges and crap because they just can't deal with it anymore. They just can't. They're already fragile mentally. You got to be strong mentally. You got to get through this. Like I say, the winner is whoever comes out on the other end. We got to get into the Christian specific segment. We got to get into it. Hope you can stick with me. Let's keep on rocking. You know what to do. Fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. Well, as it would turn out last week when we did this segment, I kind of wound up just, we just discussed some random things. And in other words, it was more of me rambling at random. And I actually enjoyed doing that. I don't know if y'all did so much, but I did. And so I'm going to do that again. I'm going to do that again this week. Got just several different things I thought we'd kind of hit on and discuss and move on to the next thing. And I was thinking, you know, Jesus warned, you know, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And of course, he at other places, he described exactly how they were. They would make grand speeches and stand on these, be prominent, and people would, oh, wow, he's a holy man, and he knows all of these things. And he said, and yet, for pittance, for just a little bit, they'd devour widows' houses. And be a man of God. But hey, this widow is 2 days behind on her mortgage and doesn't have any money, so we're going to take her house and throw her out on the street. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Say yeast of the Pharisees. but it, because it is hypocrisy. And I was thinking about this in our world that we look around, because these things, the nature of these things, the nature of certain people, you know, it doesn't really change. It just kind of gets dressed up. It gets dressed up a little differently, but it doesn't actually change. Now, if you think of yeast, if you put yeast into a bread, nobody makes bread anymore. You know, everybody just goes to the store and buy it. And when, if you're my age, when you were a kid, your mama might have made bread and you watched her make bread, and they literally put yeast in and worked the yeast, and then the bread would rise, you know. And of course, in those days, they would sometimes do that. And then for certain things, they would have bread that you weren't supposed to put any yeast into. But the thing about when you put the yeast in the bread, in fact, it says in the Bible, you know, a little yeast works its way through the whole dough. It becomes one with the bread. In other words, it's who they are. You know, when Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, that's who they are. And you think about it, for today's context, the context of, you know, comparing this to today's world, you'll see people in the political sphere, and they will constantly point out, you know, the hypocrisy of the left. You know, oh, y'all say you care about, you know, I don't know, equality or whatever, you know, but here, look, we've just pointed out your hypocrisy, and they think this is winning. You know, oh, you know, you see all these different forms, you know, they're the real racists. They're the real homophobes. They're the real, as if pointing out this hypocrisy means anything. It doesn't, because it's just simply who they are. If it wasn't who they are, yes, it would bother them. If I told you and pointed out something you were doing that was hypocritical, that would bother you. Why? Because that's not who you are. If I pointed out something hypocritical in the way you were living your life, you would stop and take pause and be like, oh yeah, why am I doing that? It would bother you. Why? Because it's not who you are. You would realize that you're doing something contradictory in your life. And yet you see people, conservatives namely, and they're constantly trying to quote unquote own the left, and by that own the libs, you know, and by this they're pointing out their hypocrisy, and this never works, and they don't seem to ever catch on that it doesn't ever actually work. But why? Because that's who they are. It doesn't bother them, where it would bother you if I pointed out something you were doing that was hypocritical in your life. It doesn't bother them because it's completely incorporated into their lives. The hypocrisy is like the yeast. The yeast is worked all the way through the dough. You can't go back in there. Most of y'all probably ain't old enough to watch your mama bake bread. But once you put the yeast into that dough, you can't go in there and spread the dough out and pick it out again. It's a part of the dough. If you wanted bread, if somebody came in and said, oh no, I wanted that bread without yeast, you'd have to throw the dough out and start all over again, because once it's in there, it works its way through. It's who they are. This hypocrisy that you see, it's the same sort of thing. It's who they are. That's why this whole silliness that you see conservatives do of, oh, you know, we're owning the libs. Look, we pointed out they're hypocrites. They're the real racists. They're the real whatever. And yet it never works. It just water off a duck's back. It doesn't bother them a bit because it's who they are. Likewise, for a lot of these people, sin is who they are. You know, as a Christian believer, you have a certain amount of, I don't know how to put it, a certain amount of anguish from sin causes you, and you may not even realize it. When you struggle with sin and when you become aware of sin in your life, it causes you like a mental anguish, a spiritual anguish, and you probably don't even know why that is. And one of the reasons why that is, just as if I pointed out something being hypocritical to you, but it doesn't bother these people, is because there's a contradiction there. You know who you are. You know who you belong to. And yet, you know, even if it's just for a little bit, it's just a small portion of your life, you're doing these things that are contradictory to who you are, to who you're supposed to be, to who you serve, to who's in your heart. When you sin, it's contradictory to that, and this causes a problem. See, those of this world, those who relish in sin, they don't have that contradiction, because it's basically, it's like the yeast through the dough. It's who they are. basically when you sin, it forms like a spiritual cognitive dissonance. You know, you have this contradiction. You're living your life a certain way. You know what you're striving to be. And yet, when you sin, that goes contradictory to this. And if it gets bad enough, you know, it can lead to double-mindedness, where your mind becomes like split and disordered, because part of your mind is focused on the things you want to be, the things of God. And yet another part of your mind gets enveloped with sin, and you wind up with a case of a disordered mind with double-mindedness, if this is allowed to continue and carry on. But you feel that. Every one of you listening probably knows what I'm referring to. You have to understand, for those of this world who relish in sin, they don't feel that. They're completely good with that. They don't feel that discomfort that you feel, because there's not a contradiction there. And yet, time and again, you'll see people try to relate to these type of people as if, you know, they're experiencing the same things, as if they're feeling the same way, you know, and they don't understand. Like I say, it's like the conservatives thinking that this time they've really pointed out the libs are being hypocritical, and they're the real racist, they're the real homophobe, they're the real whatever. And they think that somehow this is going to win. And see, this gets to why that never works, you know, but yet they keep going back to the well, because they cannot accept the fact that those people aren't experiencing that feeling like you would feel. You know, you look at them, point it out, and they think, well, it would really bother me that I have this hypocrisy in my life, but it doesn't bother them. They just, since they can't grasp that, and I think this goes back to this modern, feminine MCC view of quote unquote, we're all God's children, which is wrong. Jesus said specifically that was wrong. I mean, that runs counter to what Jesus specifically taught and pointed out. But they have this mind that quote unquote, we're all God's children. In other words, those people are experiencing the same types of things. They're viewing things ultimately the same way. If they see something hypocritical, something's pointed out to them that's hypocritical in their lives, then that will bother them, and they'll seek to correct that. And it's demonstrated. I mean, if you were doing it as a scientific experiment, the experiment would show that, no, this is not true, because they never take corrective action. In fact, it never even gives them pause. They just keep on trucking with what they're doing, and the conservatives go on and try to own the libs one more time. Well, I just haven't pointed out hard enough how hypocritical they are. How many times do they have to go back to that well and it not work before it finally sinks in? They're fundamentally different than you. It does not bother them like it bothers you. They don't experience these things. They don't experience that spiritual cognitive dissonance that you experience, because they're fine with it. Where you, as a Christian believer, try to live for God, try to live the best life you can, try to grow and understand and become as Christ-like as you can through the process of understanding God. The more you understand God, the more you understand God through Jesus Christ, the more you love Him, the more you will strive to be like Him. Your life will change. Those people, the ones who are of the world, that are not of God, they're not going through that. They're not taking credit. They're just going along, just flowing down the river, flowing down the highway to hell. I mean, they're not experiencing these things the way you are. And if you continue to try to go back to that well and try to make them have the same, you know, the same things that you would react to, it's just going to continue to not work. And again, this is just basically proven. These people go back and try to point these things out time and again, and it never works. It's important to understand this. We have to deal with reality, not with this made up, I don't know, rosy view of humanity and the world, because the world's an ugly place. The world we live in is an ugly place. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul is laying out in 1 Corinthians how the early church, how the brotherhood was supposed to interact. And the brotherhood aspect of it, I found very interesting. You know, and he lays out examples of being in the world and yet not being a part of the world, you know, come up out of, we talk about, you know, come up out, don't take part. And really, he emphasizes there's supposed to be this feeling of brotherhood. Now, again, this has been so watered down in our corrupt modern times, because you have people running around, and these Christians will run around, and vast majority of them will say, we're all God's children. You know, y'all know that irks me because I brought it because I brought it up again. And yet, when you look in 1 Corinthians, Paul is laying out for the church, you were supposed to have this sense of brotherhood. You have this community. This is y'all. You're not a part of the rest of them. And he lays out, you know, these standards and how you're supposed, how the brotherhood is supposed to interact with one another. And we don't have that today. Very few, if you went into the brick and mortar church today, you are going to be hard pressed to find one that has anything remotely close to this. We have this congregation that we get together here because this is what we've got. God has, you know, I believe God has provided us this opportunity to have some form of fellowship. Well, obviously, you know, we're not having a brotherhood in the sense as you would as in 1 Corinthians, where the church is literally getting together. You got a community of people. But yet it is interesting, though, how he lays out how this brotherhood is supposed to be. And it's supposed to be like a close-knit group that functions. For instance, as an example, he writes at some point, he's exhorting them because there's dispute within the community, and two brothers wind up going to law against another. In other words, they go to court. They get lawyers. They're suing one another, two brothers. And yeah, they have the legal right to do that. They're in a dispute over money or property or whatever. And yeah, they have the legal right under the legal laws of man to hire a lawyer and sue one another over this money. And this upset Paul. He's like, you're not supposed to. Why would you go? Why would you go to the world? You're supposed to be coming out. This is supposed to be a brotherhood. To use a very crude and probably not very apt example, but to use a very crude example, imagine a street gang. You got a gang of teens. You've got a group of teens. You got a street gang. And in the street gang, let's back that up. I just thought of a better example. You watch like movies about like the mafia. Imagine being in the mafia back in the day when the mafia was really a thing. Imagine back in the day and you're in the mafia and you belong to this family. You know, and it's a family. They always stress that, even though, you know, these people weren't necessarily, you know, a bunch of them weren't necessarily, you know, blood related, but they were a member. They brought in, they became a member of the family. Can you imagine being in the mafia back in the day and you get in a dispute with another mafia member? Well, what did they do? Well, they took it to the family. They took it to the godfather. They took it to the Don, whatever. And it was settled within the family. It would be, you're not going to ever see or read about, you know, a dispute within the mafia. So they hired some lawyers and sued one another and went to court. That would be unheard of. They kept it within the family. Now, it's funny because in this example, well, a mafia family has a better sense of community than Christian believers today. And even Christian believers in Paul's time. He was stressing, y'all are supposed to be a separate community. Why would you not just take this, you know, to the elders of the church? Have this settled within yourself. Take it to the Don. Take it to the Godfather. Why are you hiring a lawyer and acting like everybody else out in the world? You're supposed to be not a part of that. He goes on and he talks to them. He exhorts them about the sin they're committing. And he lays it down. All these different sinful behaviors, the people who are this, you know, if you are in other words, that's how you live your life. Extortioners, fornicators. I mean, he goes through this whole long list. That's how you're living your life. Not that's what you're struggling to get over, but that's who you are. He defines them. That is who you are. If you are that, you're not a part of this community. And you need, as the church, to kick them out. We just tell them you got to kick those people out. That's who they are. And he says, specifically, he says, now, a lot of you once were those things. He's like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those. That's still who you are. And you're perfectly fine with it. They got to go. Got to go. Can't be part of it. He says, you can't have anything to do with them. And then he adds to that. He says, I'm not saying you can't have anything to do with people like that at all, because you still have to function in the world. You still got to, if you're not going to have anything to do with these sinful type people, then you're going to be living like, you better be living in a remote island or something, because if you have to deal with people in the world, you got to deal with people like that. That's just a reality. But amongst your community, see, in modern days, they would call it a cult. It'd be like, oh, they're a cult. You got to keep it. You got to keep it within the community. And talking about people and who they are versus what they're struggling with or who they used to be or whatnot, who they are. You know, in the Bible, it says, it is written that, you know, and I'm doing this off the top of my head. If I phrase it not exactly right, but you know, it's pretty much right. But it is written that, you know, now we don't see clearly. We look as though we look in a mirror and we don't see clearly. But when we enter the kingdom of God, when that time comes, you know, we will see clearly as things truly are. I've always found that interesting. It was explained to me one time that, you know, you don't, because it always, if you think of things in modern context, you know, they kind of don't make sense. What do you mean you don't see clearly in a mirror? Well, back then, a mirror would constitute, like, if you had a piece of metal that was shined up real shiny and you could kind of make yourself out in it. You know, well, now we have, you know, mirrors that work real well. You got mirrors in your car. You can look right behind you without turning your head. We didn't necessarily have that then. You'd have a shiny metal and looking. That's why it wasn't real clear. You can kind of make out what you're looking at, but it's not real clear. It's kind of foggy looking. You know, you're just trying to make out the image. But then he says, you'll see clearly. Now, the part of this that I find interesting is what are you looking at when you're looking in a mirror? You're looking at yourself. You see, we don't even see ourselves clearly while we're in this life. But when we enter the kingdom of God, that's why we should strive to see ourselves as clearly as possible. You know, just get real with yourself. It's hard, but you got to get real with yourself. We've talked about this before. You know, confessing your sins, it doesn't mean going out and telling everybody your dirty laundry. It means you quit BSing yourself. When it comes to your sins, you got to get real with yourself of why you do the things you do. That's the only way you're going to overcome those things. But the thing is, when you leave this world and you enter the kingdom of God, everything is taken from you. You know, well, sure, everything physical, but you have to understand all your justifications and your reasonings and the crap that you, the lies that you tell yourself about why you do the things you do. And all of that is getting left behind as well. And then you've got to look at yourself for what you really are. You got to look in the mirror clearly now. You're not looking in the shiny metal and it's like, oh yeah, I think I can make it. I think I look pretty good. When in reality, you look like the elephant man or something. Because you'd be looking in there talking about yourself and I'm doing pretty good. I'm a pretty good guy. Yeah. Yeah. And you're not real with yourself. And when that time comes, you go and you like disfigured and all messed up. It's going to be a painful thing. So you get that out of the way now. One of the things we're doing, you're here in this life, you're getting all that out of the way now. That way, when you're forced to do it in the kingdom, it won't be a deal because you've already seen it. You've seen yourself. You look in the mirror, you're looking at yourself. Nobody, you're not looking in the mirror to look off somewhere. I mean, you would in your car, but this is obviously not what we're talking about. You look in the mirror because you're looking at yourself. And you might not see yourself really clearly, so you need to strive to do that as clearly as you can, because you're going to see real clearly when you're in the kingdom of God. You've got to get real with yourself. You've got to quit lying to yourself. I would be willing to wager that the people we lie to the most in our lives, if I asked you, who do you think people lie to the most in their lives? And everybody probably give a different answer. People lie to their spouse. People lie to their families. They lie to their coworkers. They lie to their friends. And I think that's incorrect. I would wager that if you got to the truth, the people the ones that we lie to the most, that we tend to lie to the most, are ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves constantly to justify the things we do, but to not look at the things that we don't want to look at, the ugly things in our lives and the things that we know that aren't right, but we really don't want to face them. We don't want to deal with them, or we've gotten comfortable with them, or whatever the case may be. And we wind up lying to ourselves. This is why I hate this screwed up thing, this screwed up crap the MCC is twisted about love your enemies, and they've twisted into this. You're supposed to have some sort of, like, you know, emotional affection for them. And it makes people who are trying to do the right thing lie to themselves and to others and say, well, I have a hard time with that guy, but I'm loving him. But they don't. You're not feeling a feeling of affection. You're not supposed to lie to yourself. That never leads to a good place. Remember, just as there's no truth in the devil, he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning, there is no truth in him. The opposite of that is Christ. The opposite of that is the Lord Almighty. There is no deception in him. He does not want you lying to yourself. You are better off. Look, it's hard. It's hard to be real with yourself. But you are millions of times better off just taking the hit and getting real with yourself and being honest with yourself about what you're doing, why you're doing it. Quit trying to make it sound, look, God already knows. You are not going to BS the Lord. Quit making up excuses and justifications and, well, I do this because, you see, I don't know, I had a really bad childhood or whatever you've got. Look, stop doing that and get real with yourself. You're going to be better off for it. God is never going to tell you to lie, not to other people, not to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. You got to be real. One of the things that drives me crazy, there's a difference. What do I want to say? How do I want to put this? The Bible says, you know, it is written, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And yet you'll see Christian believers and they'll go around like acting like they hate themselves, and they think this makes them humble. You know, they think this means they're being humble and they're being a good person, you know, by basically downing on themselves. When we're talking about, you know, being real, not lying to yourself, this is love. You got to love yourself. If you're lying to yourself, you're not showing love to yourself. It might be painful. It might be something unpleasant to face. But you got to love yourself by being honest with yourself and accepting yourself who you are. And I'm not trying to sound like some, you know, I don't know, modern day motivational speaker. You got to get honest with yourself. You got to love yourself, because how can you love someone else? If you're supposed to love your neighbors yourself, but you're going around thinking it's making you this righteous person by basically beating your chest and hating yourself because you're a sinner and I'm this awful, awful person. How can you love your neighbor? If you're loving your neighbor as yourself, and that's your level of love for yourself, then you don't have no real love for your neighbor. You're just fronting. Once again, you're just lying. You're putting on airs. Say, I hate myself. I'll tell you how awful of a person I am. Let me tell you about how awful of a person I've been my whole life. Oh, but I love my neighbor, man. I totally love other people. That's bullshit. You love your neighbor yourself. You don't love yourself. The two are connected. If you can't love yourself and accept yourself, how are you going to be loved? How are you going to love and treat people right if you can't even do that for yourself? A lot of people think that they run around thinking they got it figured out and they're a quote unquote good person. And they need to scrap everything they think they believe and start all over, because they've got it all wrong. They're starting from an incorrect premise. They're starting from an incorrect premise. You going back, if you look at 1 Corinthians, you know, where Paul talks about, you know, your body, your physical body, because you have accepted Christ within you, and the Holy Spirit within you, your body, yourself, is a part of God now. It is a temple. He talks about it being a temple of the Lord. And I remember, you know, you get in like a lot of, like, I don't know, a lot of denominations will get hung up on that verse and talk about, see, this means God's telling you not to be smoking, not to be drinking, not to be, because you gotta keep up with your physical health. But it's more than that. It's about respecting yourself. As Christian believers, a lot of times we'll run around, we'll run around worry about, you know, the way we treat other people, you know, not sinning against other people, but we don't pay attention when we're sinning against ourselves. We act like that doesn't count. Well, I ain't worried about sinning against myself. It's on me. It's how I do everybody else. That's what God cares about. But if we are sinning against ourselves, and if we ourselves, our body, our mind, if we are a temple of the Lord, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, then we are sinning against God because of, we're sinning against ourselves. You see what I'm saying? When Paul is talking about, you know, the way you treat yourself, don't you know your body is a temple of the Lord now? You know, the Holy Spirit, how are you going to keep up with that temple? How are you going to treat yourself? As a believer, there's no such thing as sinning against yourself and only yourself. Yes, I mean, you commit sins, they're just sins against yourself. They may not necessarily directly, at least, affect other people. It's a sin against yourself, but you have to understand that's not something you can just blow off. It's actually worse in a lot of ways. You internalize them. And Paul talks about, you know, other sins are outside the body. But sexual sin is something you take in, is what Paul specifically was talking about. Fornication and whatnot is something you incorporate these things. When you sin against yourself, you know, you are sinning. When you sin against other people, you're sinning against other people. But when you sin against yourself, you're actually also sinning directly against God. If that makes sense, because your body is the temple, the Holy Spirit is within you. So when you sin against yourself, and there's many ways to sin against yourself. You know, again, Paul used the example of he wouldn't lay with a prostitute or committing fornication. But understand, there's all kinds of sins that you can commit against yourself. We've already talked about when you're lying against yourself, when you lie to yourself, if your body is a part of the temple of God, then are you not lying against the temple of God, against God? It's a sin. Once you have the Holy Spirit, once you've accepted the Lord into your heart and you're trying to do the best you can, you know, there really is no such thing as just sinning against yourself in the singular, because God is with you now. So this is also a sin against God. The point is that again, people get this incorrect idea that humility is some form of like putting themselves down all of the time, you know, putting themselves down. Humility is just that ability to look at yourself real. You know, what I have, this, what the spiritual growth I have is by God's grace. Wisdom you have comes from the Lord, and just being real where these things come from. But it doesn't mean like downing yourself, like, well, I'm just this awful crap person, just. That's not what the Lord is looking for from you. All right. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the more real you can get with yourself, the better off you're going to be. You know, would you don't lie to yourself. Get rid of the justification, because you're going to be better off. Look, you're always going to be struggling. Don't get discouraged over that. Don't think because you're struggling, don't think that means like you're just a lost cause or something. This is literally why you are here. You are literally here to struggle. That's your whole point of being. There's not something wrong with your faith. It doesn't mean that like you accepted Jesus. People who knew the faith, they'll be like, sometimes they'll come back around and be like, you know how I was talking to you like 6 months ago about how I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior? They're like, yeah, I think I did it wrong. What do you mean? You think you did it wrong? Well, because I'm supposed to be a changed person and I'm still dealing with the same stuff. Yeah. Still struggling with that same stuff, right? Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole point. You're not going to get, you don't get to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And now you're on easy street. You're going to be struggling until you take your last breath. When you face the ultimate struggle, the ultimate leap of faith, to die and leave this world and have that leap of faith that you're going now to the real life. You're supposed to struggle. That did not. Your struggle is a sign. Again, we talked about earlier how the people of this world, it ain't a struggle for them. They're not struggling. They're fine with the sin. They've accepted it. It's their way of life. It's, to use the terminology of the world, it's who they are. They've incorporated it into themselves. They're fine with it. It's who they are. The fact that you are struggling is a sign of who you belong to. You are supposed to be strong. Don't get discouraged in your faith because you're struggling. You're supposed to be. You're going to be. It means everything's working like it's supposed to. Don't get discouraged. God's not going to turn his back on you because you're struggling. It's the very reason he's with you. We're going to wrap up on that note. Like I say, for me, I'm being selfish. And I know we've gone for the longest time, you know, and I'll pick like, you know, some passages and verses out of the Bible. We'd spend this time discussing those. And again, I'm not saying I'm never doing that again. We just do what comes up every week. But for me personally, on a selfish basis, this is easier for me to be able to just kind of roll along and discuss various things. It is. I like it. And if that works, I'll do that, and other weeks we're going to go back and maybe talk about two or three verses and just spend our time on that and understand that. So, I mean, it's just like everything else I do. It just winds up me rambling, I guess. But either way, I hope you got something out of it. I hope you got something out of the whole entire show, and I hope you got enough out of it that you will come back next week. And that's always cool because I plan to be back here next week. If 1 week you tune in and there was no warning and the Parish of the Patriots, I didn't say anything the week before, like won't be a show next week. I got to go out of town. Just out of the blue, show doesn't post up. You bet something's happened. Something's done happened to me because I plan to be back here next week. And hopefully you will too for the Parish of the Patriots.